Thank you, Anne, as well. That should be in our minds by now, right? I mean, it's a little disruptive every week, so hopefully it's kind of buried it in there well. Hey, last announcement is this. Every year, we take time to gather together just supplies for kids in our region, in our neighborhood, just different families that have a need for just helping their kids get off to school. As we're getting closer to school starting, we've gathered those. We had a team of people that have put those into some of these backpacks that you see a few of them up here. This isn't all we have by any means. It's just a few of kind of examples so that we knew what was going on. But we just want to take time to just bless these backpacks and ask that God's blessing would be on the families and on the kids that carry these to school, and that these would be a blessing to them again, so that they might know God's love just in a very practical way. Amen? So if you guys, I want you guys to stand. Some of you guys are more comfortable than others, but if you just reach out your hand in blessing towards these backpacks, and just in your own heart, pray with me, but also if God lays on your heart to pray, you know, a different prayer than what you hear, pray that out to him too. But Lord, we just ask that you would bless these backpacks. As silly as that sounds kind of to our ears coming off our lips, we know that you take physical objects and you just somehow you use them in our lives in very significant ways. And we pray that these would be examples of that, that they would be a blessing to the kids, that, Lord, they would be a reminder to those kids that you surround them, that you walk with them, that you go before them, that you prepare them and prepare where you are taking them so that when they get there, that it will be a blessing to them. We pray that this year would just stand out as a year of change and as a year of just success for them as they head off to school, and that that would not just impact them, but it would impact and reach their families as well, that they would be aware of your presence and the way that your church is used by you to just bless lives all around. Father, I pray that that would also reflect back to us, that we would remember what we're here for, that we would see the impact that we have on these students and the opportunities we have to impact lives in such real and just pragmatic, real life kind of ways, that God, we would remember that's what we're here for. That's what we saw Jesus did, what he did while he was here, and we ask that we would do that in our lives as your people. So Father, let your blessing be upon these packs. Bless the lives of the children that carry them. We just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks, you guys. Okay, so I'm just going to say something that's really kind of fun, because I spent a lot of years, I have been involved in worship, and there were a couple of new faces up here, one that we haven't seen for a while, and one that I don't know that we've seen Julia up here, but it was fun to have Julia up here, right, with her ukulele, and I love the cello in worship anyway, but Dylan just, I mean, he's really kind of sticking his neck out. And that was just fun to see. So, and thanks to the rest of the team, because they always do an awesome job, but yeah. But that was just fun to see you guys up here and kind of stepping out into it. So, how are you guys? Yeah, so somebody told me we finally hit fall, I guess. The seasons around here, I don't get them, but that's okay. Carrie said, and I get to pull out my long sleeves. I can do that today, because this is going to be 70. So, hey, it is a good day. It's a good weekend. It's always a good day to be gathered as God's people. Last week, we finished up a series. This week, we're starting a new one. We're starting a new kind of two-week series, and then we're going to go into several things that are really looking towards the fall and how we kind of launch into this fall together as God's people. We're going to start this off by looking at a passage out of Ephesians 4. In the book of Ephesians, Ephesians 4 is kind of this passage that talks about the body of Christ. It talks about how we are this blessed people, but man, we're in it together. And so I want to look at Ephesians 4, verse 7, and then jumping to 11 through 16. It says, "To each one of us, a gracious gift was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. And he gave some as apostles and some as prophets, some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. In 1835, there was a French diplomat, and he was kind of a political scientist, social scientist, and he was here in America, and he spent some time kind of going around, but in 1835, he published the first volume of what became a two-volume study on American society, and it was entitled Democracy in America. And in this study, he coined a term that honestly has become so much a part of our ongoing vocabulary. It's become so embedded as just synonymous, really, with American character and with who we are and how we think and how we act, that it's amazing to think that it didn't actually even exist, really, before 1835. But that idea is that of individualism. Individualism, that character of being independent, that character of being self-reliant, that idea, that concept that all of our rights and our thoughts and our duties and our values, all of those emerge from within the individual. Because prior to that time, prior to really this emerging society in America, a lot of that was seen to have come from, it comes from institutions or from your community or from the state, and they give you these things. But individualism said, no, they emerge from within the individual. Now, we look at that and we go, well, yeah, right? I mean, that's what we've been raised on. We get that. We understand that. That's how we think. That's our go-to, right? We've grown up in this country. That's how we've been trained. And in our nation's history, when we look at it, we see that, you know, we celebrate this. We highlight it in our history, first with the explorers and the pioneers, and then you have, you know, the immigrants that have come through, and they kind of pulled themselves up by their bootstraps, and the self-made tycoons, and you have, you know, entrepreneurs, and you have celebrities, and all of these to us are just illustrations of the obvious. That individuals are amazingly gifted to do amazing things. And that individualism is probably the best filter to see life through, to interpret life by, and to approach life with. Right? And that's just the second nature to us. Now, in Rhode Island, we have kind of gone a step further than that, right? Because on our Capitol building, there's this 11-foot statue that celebrates this trait like no other state in the Union, right? Independent man. And I mean, look at him standing there fending off all his enemies with that one spear, you know, and he's got that huge anchor he's dragging around with him all by himself, right? He's the independent man. And so we look at that and we say, that's what makes our people strong. That's what has made us strong. That's what makes our people stand out and able to stand up. That's what's made our nation great. And our nation really has made us a force to be reckoned with in this modern world. That kind of attitude. Now, here's the thing. De Tocqueville also had some words of warning for us about this thing called individualism. Well, I saw it as this driving kind of fundamental force in our society. He said, you got to be careful. He says, because this drive, this individualism will also likely lead to isolation and ultimately to the disintegration of the society and all of its institutions. What's interesting is that just in this last year, two major studies have come out, one by researchers at a major university, another by one of our what would be considered large and major health insurance provider, and it was found that isolation and the loneliness that comes with it has now reached epidemic levels in our society, in our culture, that people feel more cut off from, more isolated from others than in any other time, and to the point that it is starting to wreak havoc on lives, on institutions, on our culture. And I know that in saying this, I mean, to some of you guys, I don't need to tell you that. Because I know that not only do we have been, when we've been raised in like individualism and that thought and seeing life through that, we also have been raised in that context where most of us, at least many of us, have experienced that kind of isolation that comes from focusing so much on being individual and separate and self-identified and self-reliant. So many of us have felt the sting of that dark side of this amazing kind of force that is working in our lives. You know, when my brother was when he was little, he was learning how to tie his shoes. And he was sitting there one day, and my dad's waiting for him to get his shoes on, you know. So he's down there struggling. And my dad finally, he reaches in to help him. My brother looks up and goes, "I'm going to do it myself." All right. My dad backs off, you know, a little bit. Gives him a little room. He was struggling, you know. And so my dad, you know, 2-3 painful minutes later, probably about 5 seconds later, he reaches in to help him again. And my brother goes, "I want to do it myself." So my dad is like, "Okay." So he backs up and he just waits. So my brother struggles. He struggles. Finally, he looks up and he says, "Can you help me do it myself?" You know? The problem with trying to do everything ourselves is that there's just limits to it, right? And we've all hit that where we realize we're not designed to do everything ourselves. We don't do well when we try to do everything ourselves. Even if you look at that independent man, honestly, how many enemies is he going to be able to fight off with that one spear before they finally overwhelm him, right? Even if he can, I don't know why he'd do this, but even if he could drag that huge anchor around with him all over town, he's never going to be able to sail the kind of ship that anchor was meant for, not without a crew that will help him do it himself, right? The heroes that we celebrate, they all had people behind them. They all had teams around them. They all had mentors that poured into their lives. They all have people that came along at those crucial moments and they encouraged them to just keep going on, even though it was tough. None of us are really doing it ourselves. God designed us for something bigger than just individualism, than just being great individuals. Because as important as that is, because it's important for us to learn how to tie our own shoes, right? It's important to learn how to stand on your own two feet. It's important to learn how to think your own thoughts and be able to articulate and express them. Because if you're going to bring all that God has made you to be, you have to be that amazingly crafted and gifted and developed just individual. But there's this other thing that God has designed us for. The super important. It's essential. It's called community. God has made us for it, and God has made it for us. When God was creating the earth, if you look and you think, well, what was going on before all that? Well, from before time began, from eternity past, and you can look into eternity future, and God has always existed as what? As a community. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Three, one, but still three, but still one. Community. From all of time. So when he designed us after his own image, he designed us to be wired for, to be just designed for, made for, this thing called community, connection with others. So when we get to Ephesians 4:7 and then 11-16, what we find is, sure, there are passages in there and we see them and they highlight the individual. Things like this, it says, to each one of us a gracious gift was given, right? He gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers to equip the saints. And that's not just the generic saints. It's each one of us as saints, right? They're equipping us for the work of service. And then at the end, it says all of this is dependent on the proper working of each individual part. So we see that. But the thing is that this passage, it highlights that. And then we look throughout the rest of Ephesians and throughout the rest of the New Testament. And there's no question about when we come to Jesus, we have to come as individuals. We have to seek that personal connection with him, that one-to-one relationship that he longs to have with us. We don't come with a gathering and a group and say, yeah, we're all in. But it's that personal thing that really grabs our hearts. And that's what he designed us for. But at the same time, with our individualistic mindset, with that training we've received, a lot of times we see those parts of Scripture as almost the only thing. And we miss the rest. Let's look at what the rest of what's there. It says, he comes and he equips the saints for the work of service, which is what? The building up of the body of Christ. He doesn't equip us as individuals just to go out and do our own thing. It's for the building up of this. And he says, so that we might all attain the unity of faith and that we might all be one mature humanity. And so we see that word we come in over and over, that we might attain. As a result, we are no longer children that are tossed about. We are growing up into all aspects into him. And at the end it says, so Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by which each joint supplies according to the proper working of every individual part, but the whole body holds together. And it causes the growth of the body for the building of up of itself in love. So again, we see that we're created as individuals, but we're not created to function only as individuals. And that's not just in kind of the society of the church. That's in all of human society, right? I mean, everything, everywhere we turn, even if you look at, but when you look in the scriptures and you look at that term, the body of Christ, the one that's used probably most often to refer to this church, you think about what is the picture that gives? Well, it gives a picture of, you know, we're in this thing and there are these my body is made up of these unique and individual and very specialized kind of parts. But they're literally connected. They're coordinated. They're functioning together to accomplish things. So that's who we are as the body of Christ. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 12, 26, it says this, when one member of the body suffers, all the members suffer. Now think about that. That makes sense, right? We get that in our bodies. You know, if my head has a headache, my body's miserable, right? It's not like these guys are going, gosh, get over it, right? They're all suffering together. They don't get to pull out. At the same time, it says, you know, if one member is honored, then the rest, if one is honored or experiences relief or experiences success, then the whole body rejoices. You think about it, you know, when I'm hungry, my body's miserable. I don't pour food over everything. I feed my stomach. And my body goes, yay, right? I'm outside working in the yard and I'm just sweating and just, it's horrendous. It's hot and I put a cool wash rag around my neck and the whole body celebrates. Because when one member is honored, when one member is relieved, when one member succeeds, the body moves forward. If you win, I win. Why would I not pour my life into your success as much or even more than my own? God has said that, you know, that's how the church works. We're a body. We're connected in that way. I want us to think about something right now, because we have to ask ourselves, given that, what God has said is true about us. If someone in our midst is suffering, and we are not suffering with them, we have to ask ourselves, what is wrong with me? Not what's wrong with them. Am I really tied into this thing called the body of Christ in the way that Jesus intended? If when one suffers, I don't suffer with them. If when one rejoices, I don't rejoice with them. Because we're a body. And you guys, that's how we've been wired. We originate, not just in the church, but in life. We originate in a community of people. Two people come together, and that's how we come into being. It's in community. Our understanding about ourselves, they found, is not primarily come from me. I don't go up to a mountain and reflect on, man, who am I? It comes from interacting with others. It comes from feedback from others. How do I evaluate whether I've succeeded or not, if not from other people and how they have responded? I am wired, literally, our brains are wired to recognize other beings like us and to seek them out. We have this ability to recognize individual faces, but to also recognize that, yeah, this is another being like me and I need to seek them out. We are wired to seek out human connection. We are hardwired to understand others, to empathize with others, so that literally when they tell us how they're feeling, our brain fires off in the same areas, those feeling centers that theirs is firing off in. We are wired for connection, for community. And so God has made us this way. In fact, in those same studies about loneliness, what they said was loneliness has the same effect on our mortality that smoking 15 cigarettes a day would have. Being cut off, being isolated is detrimental to our physical, our emotional, to every sense of our health. Why? Because that's what God made us to be. God created us as individuals, but He never made us to go it alone. Here at Christ Church, early on, we found kind of one of the early statements of kind of the mission statement, the value statement, that kind of thing, and it said, you know, here at Christ Church, we believe that the hope of the world is Jesus Christ. Amen? It says, for that reason, we exist to model and also to multiply compassionate Christian community. Why community? Why community? Because God intended for us to be a body. Not just a group of individuals that happen to get together at the same place, the same time on Sunday morning. He intended us to be dependent on Him, but also interdependent with each other so that we care, that we're connected with one another, that we care what happens to one another, that we are investing in each other, we're encouraging each other, supporting each other, we're working for the success of the other. That we're not satisfied with our own success merely. We're not satisfied until we see God's blessing and success in all of the lives that surround us, or at least as many as possible. That we seek the success of the body because we truly believe that when one is suffering, we're all suffering. When one succeeds, we all succeed. That's what we were made for. That's what we're called to be. Amen? You guys, so what does that mean for where we go from here? What do we do with that? Great, great theology, great theory. Now what, right? Well, I want to leave you guys. Actually, I thought there were three, but then I got handed a fourth this morning. So, four things. So if you're going to write down something, I want you to write these things down. First is this. This fall, we're going to be kicking off small groups. Some of these have been small groups that have been going on for a while, but we're going to kind of relaunch them every quarter so that you guys know what's happening, you know where you can tie in. These are going to be Bible studies. They're going to be connection kind of groups, interest groups, community groups. They're going to be book studies, all of these type of things. And the reason we're doing that is because each of these is an opportunity for you to invest your time and your presence to be engaged with others, other brothers and sisters that are part of this community called Christ Church, so that we can connect with one another, that we can invest in one another, that we can come alongside of each other. And so opportunities, we're going to be launching that in the fall. And this isn't the first time, like I said, some of these have been going on, but we're going to do this so that in investing and connecting with each other, we don't remain or we don't drift into that space where we just become kind of this group of people that, just individuals that just hang out about an hour or so every Sunday. Now, what we do here on Sunday morning, is it important? Yes. We want to learn how to engage God together. Absolutely. Is it important that you as an individual just pursue God and learn what it means to be individually as just as solid a disciple and follower of Jesus as you can be? Absolutely. That's important. Is it important that you learn what your gifts and your callings and your ministries are so that you can pour into those things? Absolutely. But if we don't learn how to be community, again, we're dead in the water. If we're truly compassionate Christian community, if we don't have compassion, right? If we're not driven out into this community by the love of God to find those who are lost and those who are broken so that we can bring them the healing and restoring and saving grace and power of Jesus Christ into their lives, if we're not doing that, we're dead in the water. If we're compassionate Christian community, if we're not Christian, if we're not following Jesus Christ and devoting ourselves, not just to some theory, but to that person that we meet at this table, that person that has made himself known to us, and that we're not growing in our own reflection of him in Christ's likeness, if we're not doing that, we're dead in the water. But you guys, if we're not compassionate Christian community, again, we're missing a third of who God has called us to be. And we're missing the opportunity. I think what's important to see too is in Ephesians 4 where it says, if we don't learn how to be community, we're not ever expressing the fullness of the grace of God. Because God has poured out his grace into us one individual at a time, one piece, one portion, one measure at a time, one gift at a time. So that only by all of us in kind of cooperation and coordination and as a body, only as that do we ever reflect the fullness of the grace of Christ. Only by that do we become what Ephesians 4 calls the fullness of Christ. So I want you guys to be thinking between now and it's right after Labor Day. We're going to be signing up for these groups a couple of weeks after Labor Day. And between now and then, I want you guys to think about, as I look at my week, as I look at my priorities of what I have going on, where is time that I either have or where is a space that I can make time to invest myself into being engaged with and invested in the body of Christ. The community of God's people here at Christ Church. I want you to think about that. It's number one, all right? Prepare for, get ready to, sign up to be a part of one of these small groups. Second is this. Some of you guys come here, and you sit here every week with these gifts, these passions. It's just inside this thing that's just not letting you rest. You are connectors. Or your community builders, man. You're just going, why can't these people be more together? Why can't we just hang out more? Why don't those people know each other? You hate seeing people isolated and disconnected and cut off from other people and wandering out there on their own. You hate it. Some of you guys are just wired this way. That's the measure of God's grace that he's poured into you. That's just how you think. It's how everything in you just moves towards. You guys, I want to say, be free. Get out there and connect people. You know? Just invite them over to your house in like bunches. Just so that you can say, hey, did you ever know this? Right? Just have them come over, do something. You know, we've been having these summer gatherings. Well, why can't we have fall gatherings, right? Why can't we do like spring gatherings and even, you know, Rhode Island, Lord forbid, but winter gatherings, you know? We have to get out and drive to somebody's house and hang out with people. But why wouldn't we do that? And some of you guys are gifted in that. And we need you to do those things because by you investing in and operating in that kind of calling, you're building up this body of Christ so that we become compassionate Christian community. And also, some of you guys, if you have those gifts, you need to talk to Cheryl and I because we need you to be taking some of these community groups, these groups that we're starting to develop these things of just places for people to connect. That's their prime purpose. We'll be gathering around food and around God's word and around just talking about life, but it's so that we can connect like that. So talk to Cheryl and I. So one, you might be someone that just needs to sign up, but some of you guys may need to, you need to be a connector. You need to be a leader of those groups. You have the gifting of it. So come and talk to us about being involved in that. It may be something that you don't feel, I'm not ready to do that, but I want to learn about it. Well, then we'll put you in a group next to a leader so that you can kind of apprentice and kind of test it out, learn how to do this. But you guys, we got to get good at this. Third one is this. Our commitment to and our connection with each other is first grounded and anchored in our commitment to and our connection with Jesus Christ, with God our Father, with the Holy Spirit, who is the one who says, it says, ties us all together anyway. And so in that, we need to know that we need to press into that relationship. We love others because we have seen the love of God active in our lives. We know how to forgive others because we have first experienced God's forgiving of us. We know how to give to others, and we know how to pour out into their lives because he has given himself to us. Amen? So what that means is that the deeper that we press into understanding how much he has given, how much he has forgiven, how much he has loved us, the more that we press into understanding that, the more capacity we have to be able to turn out and to give that and express that to other people. And so press into your love of Jesus. Press into the worship of God. Press into your experience of his forgiveness and his grace. Press into understanding what that means and experiencing what that means into your life. Because in that, what we'll find out, you know, that's what this table is about. It's calling us back to remember what I did so that you can do that with one another. And then you can do that even broader to the world around you. That's what this table is about. That's what, in a couple of weeks, we're going to have several people that are being baptized at Goddard Park. It's going to be exciting. Why? Because they're expressing, God has brought me into this thing and I'm in it with you. That's what baptism is about. We've all been baptized by one spirit into one body. In the same way we express that physically, we've been baptized. We're baptized into this, not just this church, but into his church, his people. So press into those things. Press into that worship and that understanding Jesus and walking with him every day. Because in that, we grow in our capacity to express the same love and to reach out to one another in that same kind of community. Fourth thing is very practical, very pragmatic. And this is the one that was handed to me. You guys, there are these blue cards. You don't have one yet, because on your way out, you're going to find one. Right? Is that right? We haven't passed them? Oh, they have one? Oh, okay, you got them on the way in. There they are. Goddard Park. I mentioned that. You guys, this is a celebration. And this is Goddard Park. This is every week, but I'm going to focus on this one. We need people to help. You know, that's fine for the guy, gilded statue, to stand on our state house and say, I can do it on my own. But we can't do this on our own. We need people that can help, set up chairs. We need people that can help, you know, set up sound stuff and can help. All of the ways that you can help, they're listed here. We need people to participate, you know. We need people, so on the front are just the things that we're going to be doing. So we need people to, you know, bring cookies, especially that one, bring cookies. We need people to help just by participating, but on the back there are specific ways too of teams that you can join to actually help set up and prepare and then tear down so that event we can enjoy it together. You guys, if different people invest in it, we're going to enjoy this thing together as a body. Amen? And you guys, I'm excited about it. We have some of the neatest stuff coming up on that day, just that God has really brought together for us so that he might encourage us as his people, you know, that he might encourage us. You know, you guys are on the right track. Keep pressing into this compassionate Christian community thing together. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So look at that. Think about it. You need to sign it. You need to sign up. Get it to Cheryl. Cheryl, wave your hand for people who might not know you. That's Cheryl. But get it to her on your way out. You guys, we were made as individuals. I am amazed regularly at the individuals God has brought into this place to be a part of this church. That's thank God for his blessing. But we were also meant to be and called to be his body, his church, so that together we would accomplish things that we can't possibly do on our own. And that this world would be changed for Jesus Christ, because we are here, not just alone, but we are here together. Amen? Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word and your challenge to us. Thank you for the astounding way you have created each one of us individually to be your people, to be your gifted, not only gifted, but to be gifts of yours through the power of your Spirit. Father, I pray that we would just lean into that, become as good as we can be. But Father, I pray that we would also learn to be that community that you called us to be, that body that functions, coordinates, that encourages, that grows, that builds itself up in love. Father, that we would press into those things so that we would truly reflect not just the individual piece of grace that you have poured into our life, but that we would express the fullness, the manifold grace of God, the manifold grace that was seen in the life of Jesus Christ. We pray these things so that you would be glorified, so that many would come to know you, that many would be touched by the salvation, the restoration that is available to us through your Son. We pray these things in his name. Amen.
We have the greeters come forward this morning for our offering.